Hey guys, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. So I talked with a couple, I got some feedback from a couple young people and about their dads. So we did this with Mother's Day, so I'm going to have a little fun with this one, all right? So here's one question. How tall is your dad? And we got a lot of, smart kid questions. You know, he's 5'10", he's 5'4", he's 5'4", he is 6'4", he's 5'8", he's taller than me, he's 5'83". I like some of these. He's 80 tall, he's 100 feet, he's 78 tall, he's 100 daddies tall, he is so big, right? He is really tall, he is just big, he's 5 feet, with question marks, 5'83", 36, just 36, very tall, I don't know, nothing. Like the kid said, nothing. I don't know, really tall, 21 tall. That was the responses. What is something that your dad says all the time? Be careful. He says, I love you. He says, turn off the light, shut the back door. He says, don't be crazy. Dad says, clean up your toys. Dad says, don't play while you're supposed to be cleaning up your toys. He says lots of random things. Who knows? Dad says, if you be good, you can have a chocolate almond and be nice to your friends. Can you guys hear me okay? Dad says, I'm Batman. This dad says, you are rotten to the core. Some dad's in trouble. Yeah. This dad says, come on, man, you're driving too slow. One dad yells out, touchdown Tennessee all the time. One dad says, this is going to be hard to figure out, hi Zachariah. One dad says, I love you. One dad says, just a bunch of odd stuff. And the last one said, he says the same thing over and over and over. What is silly about your dad? He still plays video games. When he wins a game, he is silly. My dad hides his candy in the bread box. I don't think it's very well hidden, Dad. Just saying. All right. He giggles like Scooby-Doo. Just so y'all know, I'm looking at Dan, all right? He makes funny faces. He always picks me up. He tickles me so funny. Where do kids learn how to talk? Probably from us, right? He lets me push him over when we are playing. His personality is funny. He never wears shorts except to go swimming. He's just funny. He says stuff that is just silly. What's silly about my dad? He has a mustache. When he works hard on something, he sticks his tongue out or he can't do it. He says things like stinker pot. My dad dances funny. What's silly about my dad? He's trying to grow a mustache. Another one says, what's silly about my dad? His mustache. Cuddling time is silly with my dad, and he tickles me. That is what's silly about my dad. Right? What do you love about your dad? I love that he is funny and takes care of me, even if I do something silly, no matter what. He loves me. I love doing work with my daddy. I love that he is kind, that he follows Jesus and works hard for us. I love that he plays with me and takes me on adventures. I love that my daddy asks to pray with me. I love that he loves me and tells me that all the time. I love that he is always there for me. I love that he never goes back on his word. He is faithful. I love that he tickles me. I think there's a theme with that dad here. I love that he plays with us and he's more fun, I'm assuming, than mom. And I love him. Must have been my kid. I don't know, right? I love that he does puzzles with me. I just love that my daddy's so funny. I love that he hugs me. I love that he's nice. I love when he reads me Dr. Seuss. He does not skip any pages. I love playing with him. I love when he kisses us. I just love my daddy. That's good stuff. Man, I love being a dad. So happy Father's Day to you guys. Make it a good day. Amen, church. what a great privilege and a responsibility it is to be a father. There's my kiddos. Well, there you go. Yeah, we get the opportunity to be I get the opportunity to be a dad and a foster dad as well, and it rocks my face off. It's just awesome. Is that still a thing? Rocks my face off. It is with me. So it rocks my world, man. It's amazing. Well, I love my kiddos. I believe that on Father's Day we should really celebrate the dads in our life. I think about biological dads. I think about the adoptive dads. I think about foster dads. I think about grandparents and even uncles that play some sort of role in that. And also spiritual dads. I think we miss on Mother's Day and Father's Day if we don't celebrate the men and women in our lives that have poured into us spiritually. In 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, we see Paul refer to Timothy as his son in the faith. I think that should be celebrated as well. So as we celebrate this morning, happy Father's Day. I hope it's an encouraging message for you guys and just an encouraging and loving day with your family. On Mother's Day, I had to remind dads to go buy a gift for their mom. I don't think we're going to have to worry about with the ladies. I think you guys probably got that taken care of. But as we approach our text today, I just want to say this. I want us to know that what we hear today is for all of us. You'll hear me talk to men and in general and dads, but you'll hear me talk to all of us. This message, when we open up God's Word today, it's for all of us, so let's approach it with the attitude of humility and willingness for God to speak into and change our lives. Let's remove this idea that we just come here to check it off the list. We came to church. We did the spiritual thing. Let's let God actually work in our lives this morning. So there's going to be a focus on dads and men's and men in their life. But this message is for all of us. Before we dive in, I want to read some lyrics to a song that to get our minds thinking, to give us the proper perspective as we approach our text this morning. Just listen to these words. Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs? Was I love when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of those? Was my worship more than just a song? The next verse goes on to say, am I proof that you are who you say you are? That grace can really change a heart? Do I live like your love is true? And people pass. And even if they don't know my name, is there evidence that I've been changed? When they see me, do they see you? And then the chorus says, I want to live like that and give it all I have so that everything I say and do points to you. Men, today, dads, does your life points others to Jesus? That's a huge convicting question that I asked myself this week. It's like, and what goes through your mind? All the bad things that I've done, right? But God's gracious and my kids are gracious, you know? But that's what I want. I want my life to point others to Jesus. This song that I just read the lyrics to, it reminds me of that word legacy. What will our legacy be? He says, what will people say to me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs? When I'm with Jesus, what is my life, right? What are people going to remember? What is our legacy going to be? And I think that's a question for every single one of us in this room. What is our life saying? Right? Who are we becoming? Who are we becoming? What will our legacy be when our kiddos see us? And they're going to see our mistakes and they're going to see our sin that's going to happen, men. Just know that. Own up to it. Apologize. And right? But when they see our lives, when other people see our lives, not just our kiddos, but our families, our friends, people that we're around, do they see a life that has been loved and made new and is being led by Christ? Do they see a life that reflects and pursues Jesus? I love to see how some people in Scripture are described. We get to see what their walk and their lives look like. Some of them you look at and you're like, okay, we don't want to do that. And then the other ones you look at and say, there's men and women in the Bible that said, man, I want to live like that. We hear things in God's Word like talking about that they walked with God. Right? This person lived this long and they walked with God. They lived lives where they stood firm in their faith. People that pursue holiness or godliness. Or one is described as being a man after God's own heart. I had a friend of mine that passed away a few years ago with some heart issues. And his one of his memories, you know, on Facebook, memories pop up on there. And one of the things that just popped up was what his brand new wife had said. And she just said, put his name on there, Russ, and his last name and his dates. And she just said, a man after God's own heart. What a legacy. We see people in Scripture, just people that their lives show that they pursue a life that Jesus is evident in their life. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and the church of Corinth had some issues, and he's trying to help them in that, and he's wanting them to grow in their walk. He's wanting them to pursue a life that looks like Jesus and reflects Jesus, and so he tells them this. He said, hey, church, imitate me. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Paul isn't telling them that he is the important one. He isn't, right? He's not telling them that I have everything together. That's not what Paul is saying at all. He's telling them, I'm pursuing Christ. And I'm pursuing godliness and holiness. And I want my life to reflect Jesus. And so as I imitate Christ, you can imitate me. I mean, think about that, men, and even moms, people in here, like dads and moms, everybody in here, man, do we live the life, man, I want to live that life where I can look at my boys and my girls and say, as I imitate Christ, imitate me. Because dads, your kiddos are imitating you, right? They are seeing your life and they are imitating you. When we went to camp this past week, by the way, I just got back from camp of speaking like, I don't know, 20 times and man, just saw 70 plus kids give their life to Jesus. Praise God, amen. And we saw some kids, just surrender to whatever God wanted to do in their life. And we're going to talk about that next week. Be here to support those kids next week. We're going to talk about what God did in their life at camp. So be here for that. But we were at camp last week. And my family and I, we didn't get to spend a lot, did we? We didn't get to spend a lot of time together, but we would have our meals together. And I remember we would walk into the cafe or we would just be sitting down eating food. And my son, Jax, if you guys know him, he would just start talking to people, right? He knew them. He just started having a conversation with, like, he knew him. He's never seen these people before in his life, right? And he's joking with them. He's asking them questions. He's telling them about his day. Like, he's just like, hey, this is what are you doing? This is what I did today. I'm 5. How old are you? You know, I'm almost 6. I've got Legos. What are you playing with? My son's just having conversation with people. And it wasn't just his talking. It was his mannerisms. It was his personality. It was all of those things. And I'm sitting here like, man, this guy's cool. You know, my son. And Jessica looks at me with this look and she goes, that's your son. You know, just your son. Man, it's like they imitate us, don't they? They learn from us, right? And it's kind of cool and scary at the same time, knowing that other people imitate us. My boys, both of them, especially Jax, but both of them, they imitate me. And I think that's part of the design, church, right? I think that's part of God's design. God gave us children or grandchildren or placed spiritual children in our lives for us to pour into so that they could see our lives and imitate us. And learn from how we live. They are seeing, my kids are seeing who I am becoming. Because I'm nowhere near who God wants me to be, amen, right? You guys are nowhere near who God wants you to be, amen, right? And so they are seeing who we are becoming. Now the question is, men, who are you imitating? You're imitating someone. Who are you imitating? All of us in here. Moms, dads, young people, non-moms, I'm just men and women. Who are you imitating in your life? Who is your life pointing other people to? Who are we pointing others to with how we live, with who we are becoming? And I want to be able to say to my family, imitate me as I imitate Christ, right? I want to be able to say that. This morning, as we focus on the life we are called to live, a life worth imitating, we are going to spend some time in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's some at the end of your rows. Pull out your phones. Man, I was hanging out with these kids all weekend, and I'll tell you what, I was impressed. The majority of them had Bibles with them, but a lot of them pulled out their iPads and their phones and stuff. There's just something about having God's Word in your hand. But just open up 1 Peter chapter 1. And as you get there, I'm going to give you a little bit of context before we look at our specific passage this morning. Because I think it's important to know that we know who Peter is talking to and what they're dealing with. You see, this letter was written to strengthen and encourage the churches and followers of Christ that were living underneath the Roman Empire rule. Most of these were Gentile Christians. They had come to know Christ, they had come to follow Christ, and now they find themselves in a very hostile area, a very hostile situation, a very hostile culture towards towards Christianity. If you were a Christian during the Roman Empire, more than likely you were looked down upon. You were looked at many times as really being an enemy of their way of life. You were often used as scapegoats. The Emperor Nero did that. Burnt down the city of Rome and blamed the Christians. Blame would be placed on them when they were innocent. They were mistreated and abused. They would lose their jobs or never get one in the first place. Many of them lost their lives. Many Christians were treated just very poorly. In fact, a commentator used this phrase. I just love this. It says they weren't just persecuted. Listen to this. They weren't just persecuted. There was a vicious persecution against them. That's the people that Peter is writing to. And so here's the point. It was challenging, to say the least, to live a life for Christ. Amen? Are you guys getting that picture? Trying to help we were talking about that a little bit with the youth this past week and helping them understand persecution, but then really what other people in the world are facing when it comes to persecution. And so Peter writes some things to them that are very important truths. He says this in verse 1. He introduces himself and then he says this. To those, this is who he's writing to, those who reside as aliens. We'll describe that here in a second. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. He says three things that I want us to see in that verse right there, the first couple verses. He says, who he's addressing it to those who reside as aliens. He says, to those who are chosen by the foreknowledge of God, and then out of those people, those that are to obey Jesus Christ. He's reminding them something here, and it's important for us to know what he's telling them before we get to our verses. He's telling them this. There's three truths I want us to get just out of those two verses. The first one is this. You belong to God. Right? If you're a follower of Jesus, if you have repented of your sins and believed in the gospel and confessed that Jesus is Lord, then you now belong to God. The second truth is this, we belong to God, which means we belong with God. He addresses them as those that reside as aliens. Here's what Peter's saying. Since you belong to God, if you're a Christian, if you've given your life to Christ, you've been saved. Since you belong to God, then you belong with God, but you're now residing here in an area that is not your eternal home, right? So that's why he's calling them aliens. I know we don't use that word much anymore, but when I was growing up, they talked about aliens, people that came in, maybe illegal aliens or people that came in, right? There, you get what I'm saying? Like that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, you guys are living in an area, we're residing in a world that doesn't look a whole lot like our eternal home will look, amen, right? And saying it doesn't look a whole lot like God. You're living in a world that in many cases hates God. They live differently and they pursue different things. There are different values, different pursuits. It doesn't feel like home, right? But then for believers, their focus, our focus is Jesus. So while the world around you is chasing the world, the things of the world, just like we did before Christ, amen. Man, I love that idea. It's like, man, I'm just a thirsty or a former thirsty person taking a thirsty person to the water, amen. Like we're no better than anybody. And so, but you're just living as aliens in a different world. And so our focus is Jesus. And when we follow Jesus Christ, here's the thing: our pursuits, our values, and our focus, they shift. We talked about this before, that there's a 180 in our life. They now shift not towards, away from the world and away from us, and they shift toward the pursuits and the values and the focus of Christ. And so when we approach this, remember that you belong to God. I like this language in 2 Peter, or in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. It says that we are his possession. That's a good word, isn't it? Man, we're just like, sometimes we put God over in the corner, but we belong to him. Like, we are his possession. So we belong to God, and we belong with God. But while we are here, until the day that Jesus returns or calls us to be home with him, how do we live? How do we live in this world? How do we live as followers of Jesus? How do we live a life where we can be able to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ? And that's the third thing we see in that verse. We looked at it, talked about being obedient to Christ, that we are to follow Christ in every way, shape, and form. We're to follow Christ. We were set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ to obey him and to follow him. Amen? No longer following the things and ways of the world, no longer pursuing our only fleshly desires, but pursuing Jesus and his desires. The people that were saved following Jesus here in this Roman world, they needed to be reminded and encouraged that they belong to God, they belong with God. They had this living hope in Jesus, in who he was, and they belonged to him. Isn't that amazing? I've shared this many times. It's joyful and really difficult at the same time. Part of my job is I get to visit people in the hospital, and some people sometimes from our church, sometimes not, maybe in our community. And you can tell the difference between somebody that knows Christ and somebody that doesn't. Because there's always hope when we know Jesus, because one day we will be with him with no more pain and no more suffering and no more tears. Are you guys with me? And so there's that hope because we belong to him and with him, and now we follow him while we're here on earth. What does our life look like while we are here? Dads and men, what is our life going to look like, right, as we raise up young people, or if we're spiritual, you get what I'm saying, as we have spiritual children, what's that life going to look like? Church, if we are saved, if we've repented of our sins, believed in the gospel, we've confessed Jesus as Lord, then we belong to him, we belong with him, we have that hope in Jesus, but we're still here, right? And we have to live for him and with him and all that stuff. So our lives are to reflect Jesus. Our lives are to be obedient to Jesus and to follow him. We are to imitate his life. And then when we do, those that imitate us, those that see our lives, our kiddos, our families, others that God has placed into our life, then they can see a life where they can say, I want to live like that. I want to live like that. And that brings us to our text this morning. It's just a few verses away in chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. So let's read that together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. God's word says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, meaning the lusts that were yours before you knew Christ. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, or in all of your conduct. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Father, we love you, and we thank you that we serve an awesome and amazing God, that we can cry out and call you Abba, Father, because you are that daddy to us. You are the God that loves us and wants to have that relationship of a father with us, and so we thank you for that. God, we pray for dads today as they're in here and we're hearing God's word, and help us not come away discouraged by this and say, man, I'm not doing that. We can just start right now to be men of God that pursue you and follow you, and then our kiddos will see that in us, God. For us as a church, God, help us hear what's coming out of God's word today and help us walk away different than when we came in. And so we give today to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Because we have a living hope, because we belong to God, because this is not our eternal home, and one day we are going to be with the one who is our Lord and Savior, because Christ is coming again, he says, here is how you should live, right, while you are still here. Here is the life I'm calling you to, which will lead you to live a life worth imitating. And he begins by saying this. He says, prepare your minds for action. When I read this and when I was studying this and really what these words mean, I'm a I think about baseball. Any baseball fans in here? Right? Wow. Man. I was going to suggest you sit in the chair, Brittany, but now I don't know, man. Man, I'm a big baseball fan, and I love to play the game. I grew up playing it, and what Peter is saying here and the imagery that he's trying to get across, it makes me think of an infielder in baseball, right? You have your shortstop, your third base, your second base, kind of a reaction positions, right? You got to be quick on your feet. You got to be ready. You got to be in the game. When you watch the really young guys, anybody ever watch those little kiddos go out and play, you know, some kind of ball, you know, they get out there and right, and they're in the infield, right? Many times you see them just wandering around, right? Not paying attention. They're not ready. They're not really committed to the game at that point. Jessica will tell you that when she was a little girl, she wanted to play T-ball, right? Hey. It's Father's Day, yeah. But she'll tell you this. She will tell you this. She won't hold this from you. But Jessica, you know, she wanted to play T-ball, and so her dad, you know, signed her up and became the coach and was playing this game of T-ball. And even though her dad was the coach, she eventually found herself on the bench, right? Because instead of paying attention and having her mind prepared for action, instead of being committed to the ball game, she was committed to the flowers in the grass, right? She was committed to chasing the butterflies. She wasn't prepared for the game. Her mind wasn't in it. Are you with me? And I don't even know what to say, man. There are protocols not to talk while somebody's preaching. I just want to help you out there, man. It's Father's Day. I'm on the couch today. But here's the thing. Like, Jessica, we're going to start over, I think. Happy Father's Day, right? So, but Jessica, she was distracted, right? She's distracted by the game. And that's just what the little kids do. That's what little kids do. And so we, you know, if the ball's hit to her or somebody playing like that, there's probably very little chance or no chance at all they're going to stop that ball. Are you with me? Right? So, but we do that in our life, right? Even as adults, we get distracted by things in the world. We're following Christ. We're growing. We're living, right? But then we get distracted by the things of the world, and we kind of check out of the game for a little bit. Our minds aren't prepared for action. We aren't focused or pursuing Jesus and imitating Him, right? And so there's the T-ball players and Jessica, right? There's these guys. And then there are the older, if I'm on a couch, I'm just going to dig deep, man. We're just going to go for it. And then there are the older kids as they continue. I'm just kidding, mom-in-law. I'm not going to, yeah, my mother-in-law is going to, she's going to get in. But then there are the older kids, right? All the way up to the pros, right? And the players, what do? They begin to be alert. They are prepared, right? You find these infielders, they're on their toes, right? You don't find them just kind of chilling back on their heels. They're ready, right? They're alert. They're not distracted. They have their eyes on the ball. They have their eyes on the batter. They're in this posture that allows them to make the quickest move possible so that the ball doesn't get by. They're committed, right? They remove distractions. Their eyes are focused. Their posture is ready for one thing. They are committed to the game, right? And so that's that picture. And so with that picture in mind, Peter is saying, be prepared in your thinking. Be ready for action. Here's really what he's saying, and we're going to look at a couple more verses that will support that. He's really saying, be committed, right? Be committed in this walk with Christ. Be committed in this life that Jesus is calling us and growing us and who He wants us to be. Be committed to that. Be committed to your life as a Christ follower. Let your kids see your commitment. Let that be evident to those around you that you are committed. Reject the hindrances and the distractions of the world, because there are lots of them. Amen? There are lots of distractions, lots of things that please the eye, lots of things that please the flesh or please the belly or please the pride, right? Lots of things that can take our attention off of Jesus Christ. So stay focused on being who Christ called you to be and who He's shaping you to be, and be focused on Him. I think we could say it this way: be committed to becoming more like Jesus. Keep your eyes set on where you're going. And really to support that and to about being committed, Peter says this. He says, keep sober in spirit. right? This is so spiritual sober-mindedness. He's talking about self-control. Have clarity in your mind. Be able to set your mind on living the life we're called to live, right? Don't put some junk in our brains that deludes that. He says, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be committed till the end. Be committed until that time where Christ looks at us and said, well done. Are you with me? Right? Remember, these people that Jesus or that Peter is talking to, they are suffering. They're being viciously persecuted. So as you walk through this world, right, in which we don't belong, Peter's telling them, as you walk through this world that doesn't look like Jesus, live for your future with Jesus. Live with your focus set on Jesus and focused on the day that you will be with Him for eternity. Don't live for what the world offers you today. What's that old saying? You don't ever see a hearse pulling a U-Haul, right? Man, we can't take any of it with us. Set in your mind that you're going to be committed with your eyes fixed on being with Jesus, because church, He is coming back, and one day we will be with Him if we know Him as our Savior. So the challenge, men, dads, is stay committed to becoming more and more like Jesus. Church, stay committed to becoming more and more like Jesus. If you go into the ball game without that focus and commitment, you're going to have a hard time. So we're going to pursue that commitment. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, we talked about, they said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Paul is saying, man, I am committed to following Jesus. He's committed to this way of life. He's committed to reflecting Jesus in his own life. He's doing it for his own walk, right? Because he's being obedient to Christ. There's one reason he's doing that. But also because others are watching. Others are learning. Others are imitating. Man, it drives me bonkers when you get these athletes up there or these people from Hollywood that say, man, I didn't sign up to be someone's hero or role model. Then get out of the spotlight! Are you with me? Man, we are called to walk a certain way, and then other people are going to watch and learn and imitate us. Dads, let me challenge us this morning to be committed until the end. We're going to mess up, amen? Right? Man, help me out here. We're going to mess up, amen? Right? Man. But man, we need to be committed. First, because this is the life that Jesus has for us, so we need to be obedient to that. But also, let me just say this. This world, this generation is in desperate need of men of God that are committed to walking with Him. We are in desperate need of men of God that will lead their families well, that will love well, that will serve well in the workplace, in their homes, and in the church. Are you with me, men? Man, God has placed us. He's made us the way that we are, and He's gifted us. He's allowed us by the grace of God to be dads and to be men. And so let's be faithful to that and pursue being a man of God. So let's be committed to that. Then in verse 14, he takes it a little bit deeper, and Peter writes this: as obedient children. Let's just rest on that for a second. I know that not everybody has a good experience with a father. And I've visited with many young people and older people that would just say, man, if God looks like that man, I don't want to have anything to do with him. But God, our Father, if we know Christ, man, He's a good, good Father. Amen? Man, He is holy, and He is true, and He is just, and He wants what's best for you. He loves you. And as obedient children, not only do we belong to God and with God, it's not just like, hey, come and I'm going to have a little hospitality, you know, I own you, and you know, and you have to do what I tell you to. He calls us children. We are His. He loves us as His own because we are His children. Not just anyone. We are family. I think about one of my sons. You know, I think about my boy, you know, the adoption process, right? This isn't like, hey, come and be my son. I'm going to adopt you into my family, right? And then you're just going to sit on the sidelines, right? No. You're going to get my last name. Right? You're going to get my home. You're going to get my air conditioning. You're going to get my food. You're going to get my money and my money and my money. You get what I'm saying? Right? You're going to be an heir to what I have if I have any. You get what I'm saying, man? We are fully His. We're adopted into the family of God. And what a great reminder for us this morning. God is our Father, and He is a good, good Father that's perfect and holy. And he calls us his children. And as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. Before you knew Christ, don't be conformed to those things. But like the one, the Holy One who called you. There are a lot of views that are bad when it comes to obedience and what that looks like. He says, as obedient children, he's not saying obey me as a robot, right? We're not following God in obedience blindly and for no reason. Our obedience comes from our relationship with God that's a loving Father. That's where that comes from. I mean, we are His. We are adopted permanently into His family, His sons and daughters. We're followers of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I'll sit down with my boys and they don't understand why they're in trouble or why something's happening or why we want to do things. And every now and then we'll sit down and say, does Daddy love you? Right? Does Daddy want what's best for you? Then I need you to do what I'm asking you to do. Are you with me? And so it's out of that relationship that we're obedient to Christ. And in obedience, he's calling us to live like the Holy One who called you. God called you into relationship with him. And as children of God, we're to be obedient, verse 15, like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, all your conduct, because it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. More of that imitation word right there. Christ says imitate, or Paul says imitate me as I imitate Christ, right? You know, what is God saying here? He said imitate me. I'm holy. You know, pursue me. Are you with me? Our God is holy. He is set apart. He is above all. I just love looking through scripture and seeing who our God is. Listen to this. Isaiah 40:28. The Lord is the everlasting God. There's no beginning. There's no end to him, right? He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Psalm 147:5 says, great is our Lord and abundant in power, right? His understanding is beyond measure. Psalm 96:4-5 says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. Why? For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made. He is set apart. He is holy. Philippians 2 talks about Jesus, that he is exalted and has the name that is above all names. Right? That's Jesus. That's God in the flesh. In verse 10, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's that God that invites us into a relationship with him. And he says, be like me. He set us apart to pursue him. He calls us to live a holy life, a life that is set apart for Jesus. And we glorify God best when we strive to be like him. Right? And our holy God says, be like me, aim to live like me. Verse 16, we see that he says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Being holy, living a life of holiness, isn't about completing a list of rules or traditions or good works. Man, there's that lie going, I want to be very clear. There's that lie going around our culture that we can earn our way to God. If that was true, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Amen? There'd be no such thing as good news, right? If we could earn our way to him, but Jesus came, he saw us where we were at, he pursued us, he lived the life perfectly, he died for us, he bore our sins, he died our death, and he rose again. Man, so it's this idea of being religious and trying to be holy by completing a list of rules or traditions, that's a bunch of phooey, church. Man, it's never going to get us there. It's about being with Christ. It's about following Christ and giving him our life. And then once we know Christ as our Savior, it's about spending time with Jesus. Right? Growing in our walk with him, being in the Word, being faithful to what God's Word says. Man, we do this. We open up God's Word and we're like, I don't really like that one because it doesn't really fit what I'm pursuing right now in my life, God. But I'll get back to that, but I'll follow this one. No, we're obedient to every bit of what God's Word says. Pursuing a life of holiness is being accountable to one another and doing life with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Being a part of your local church. Spending time with God in prayer, allowing the Holy Spirit to change you, seeing the life of Jesus and pursuing that, telling others about the gospel, serving, knowing that and living out the reality that we belong to God. That's the pursuit of holiness. That's what we're called to do. That's the life that changes and grows us. That's the life that we allow others, that will allow others to see Jesus in you. Dads, That is what our kiddos need to see in our lives. Amen. He says that we are His children, He is our Father, and out of that relationship, He changes us. And here's just a really cool reality. Our relationship with people often change how we live, right? I remember the moment I became a husband. My life changed radically in the best way possible. Trying to get off the couch. But my life changed, right? I have different priorities now. My life has changed, right? The moment I became a dad, man, my life changed. My relationship with my wife and my relationship with my kiddos, it changed me. And so it is with God. Your relationship with God the Father changes the way you live. Whatever your relationship looks like, if you don't want to follow God, then, right, then that will affect the way you live. If you look at God as some kind of man up in the stairs, ready to, or upstairs on a rocking chair that nobody's sitting in, right, that's going to strike you dead, right? If you do something wrong, that will affect your relationship. But if you see God as pure and awesome and holy and king over the universe and know that He loved you and that He sent Jesus for you to die for you and made a way to really have a relationship with Him, that will change the way you live. And He says, as obedient children, don't be conformed to the way that you used to live before Christ. Peter wants these Christians and these churches to see. He wants us to see that when we pursue Jesus, that will change. And that we are not to be shaped by who we used to be. There seems to be some sort of buy-in to this form of Christianity. In America, we're really good at this, man. Where we get saved, we say a prayer, we walk the aisle, we say the words, but there's no change, there's no new life. I would challenge that. Because Jesus changes us. The Christianity that we see in God's Word is one where we trust Christ, we get saved, we turn from our sins, we are born again, we follow Christ, and we live a life with Him. We see it transformed and changed by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus working in us, by God's grace to be more and more like the one who saved us. Colossians 3, 5 through 8 says this, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry, for it is because of these that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked, right? We did that. When you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Paul, in these verses, he's going a little bit further. He's not just saying, don't be shaped by your former life. He's saying, consider that former life dead. Set it aside. Get rid of it. Kick it to the curb. He says it's because of these things, these former lusts and behaviors that brings the wrath of God. So he says, put that old self to death. Put it away. Put it to the side. And we all have tendencies. Every single one of us in this room have a tendency to drift back to our former passions. We all do. It's easy, isn't it? Right? To drift back to the stuff, whatever that stuff is that we used to pursue. And it's so easy to drift back to our former patterns or ways of doing things. So we need to stay focused and committed and see our relationship with God and then not be shaped by who we used to be. But know that I am being changed by Christ in me. I am being changed by Christ in me. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Say that with me. But Christ lives in me. And the life which now I live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. It's no longer to be about Jeff, no longer about my worldly desires and my passions that are to drive me. It's no longer the sinful Jeff that's to shape what I say and do. It's now Christ. It's now Christ that shapes and directs and guides and focuses. It's me recognizing He's Lord of my life and allowing Him to shape me, to change me, to mold me, right, into who He wants me to be, which is to be more and more like Him. What is changing or shaping you? That's the question. What is changing or shaping you? Who are you imitating? I've shared this before, but this is a thought process that I wrote out a long time ago, and I just felt it was worth sharing again as we talk about pursuing Christ. Just listen as I read this. I don't know if it's up on the screen or not. There we go. The reason I obey God is because I love God. The reason I love God is because I know God. The reason I know God is because I spend time with God. And the reason I spend time with God is because I am desperate for God. Let's work that back a little bit. It starts with me trusting Christ as my Lord and Savior, right? Repenting of my sins, turning to Him, recognizing that He's God and I'm not, right? And then in that, we find ourselves being desperate for God. If we're desperate for God, we'll be compelled to spend time with Him, right? If we spend time with Him, we will know Him better, and then we'll know Him deeper and deeper and better and better, and we begin to know Him more and more. We won't be able to do anything but love Him, right? And then here's the relationship part. If we love Him, if we truly love Him, then we obey Him. Dads, man, this world is tough. Lots of things pulling at your attention. Lots of things pulling at your desires and your sin and all that other stuff. But be encouraged this morning because God chose you to be a dad. Man, God chose you to be a man. He chose you to be a man of God. He chose you to be a spiritual father or a grandfather or an uncle. I love being a dad and I'm excited and scared at the same time. Right? That God calls me to bring up children that He created. Dads, hear me out. Men, everybody, listen. God allows us to help shape and teach and grow those that He knit together in the mother's womb. It's an honor and a responsibility that He calls me to raise up my children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Dads, let's be men of God, changed by God, to live for God. Let's leave a legacy that others would look at that and say, I want to live like that. Because when they see us, they see Jesus who we are pursuing. Amen? Let's pray.